Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell, and it's our intention to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ, but maybe also to do a little bit of running. Our title today is Run Your Race, and you know, the Bible tells us, as Paul uses the Olympic analogy that fits so well this time of year, that in some measure we're all in a race. A race not for God alone. He's guiding us. We're following Him, racing in the world for His glory. And we have with us a guest who knows a lot about running and who has written a book about how we can run the race well for the glory of God. Crystal Krachunas has written a book, and it has the title on it, Run Your Race. Crystal, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being on. Let's talk some first about your own story, because, you know, we can talk about a book and people may not be well connected, but if we can hear something from you about the story from which the book was produced, that's a connection we can all make. We're all human. We all struggle. None of us run a perfect race in this life. How did it all begin?
Well, let's see. It actually began when I started running back. After I got saved when I was 23, and I was in just a bad situation in my life, and I ended up moving in with my grandmother to take care of her. She had rheumatoid arthritis, and if you've ever having to deal with older, you know, an elderly care, and I love my grandmother, but you know, my grandmother was kind of set in her ways, and after having kids, I think it was a little bit more difficult to deal with an older person more set in their ways than my own toddlers. And so I began running as a form of stress relief. And so running became this thing for me where I would go out and it wasn't just running, and I would literally just begin praying and talking to the Lord. So it kind of became that quiet time for me with the Lord, so where I was talking to Him the whole time, and I'd be able to come back to help out my grandmother, and I just have some peace, and I would be able to help her in the best way that I could and do the things for her that I needed to do. And so that kind of birthed my running. And so God has always just spoke to me so strongly when I was running, primarily because I would pray the whole time. So I would just be praying as I was running, and I was just outside and talking to God, and it really was my getaway time. So I wouldn't listen to music. I wouldn't do anything. I would just sit there. I would just, you know, just run and be talking to the Lord the whole time. So that's how the book started, was God just would speak to me, and I'd come back and I'd just write the things down that the Lord spoke to me, and He would show me things on my run and you know, just show me different things and stuff. And looking back over the course of my life now, I've been saved for 23 years, and I can see how God just has directed that run, you know, and has helped me to run my race and has been there throughout those times. And so that was what I wanted to share with people.
Okay. You have on the book and on your Facebook site mention of yourself going through a wrenching, very difficult time where death was pretty near. Tell us a little more of your own story and why this freedom of running and knowing God, why did it become so important to you?
My mom was a single mom, and my mom just got involved with the drugs and alcohol life when I was pretty young. And so, and I don't want to say anything bad about my mom, because I love her very dearly, but this was just my life. You know, she would move in with a man and move in with people, and so I was dragged around from place to place. And my mom actually, you know, gave me marijuana when I was 9, and from there, it just progressed where I started drinking when I was about 12. And by the time I was 13, I was doing acid and cocaine and mushrooms and anything else. And that was just what was modeled for me as a child. I saw that lifestyle. I was around, you know, people partying and getting drunk and doing drugs and having sex, like literally in front of me. And so as a child, like that's just what I saw. And so, you know, I began to model that as a child. My mom was rarely around. If she was around, she usually was drunk when she was around. I was molested a couple times by different men and by actually a woman one time. And there were just things that, you know, a child shouldn't have to go through that I went through.
Yeah.
And so when I was 16, there was a movie in Hollywood with Demi Moore, and it was called The Seventh Sign. And I remember seeing that movie and it just piqued my interest. And, you know, this is a Hollywood movie, and Hollywood rarely proclaims the Bible in a good way, but it got me interested in the Bible. And so I went out, and at 16, I bought myself a Bible, and I read the book of Revelation. And people are so funny. They're like, that's the first book of the Bible you read? And I said, yes, the Lord reveals himself in everything, you know. And he revealed himself to me in the book of Revelation when I was 16. And at that time, I didn't understand what it meant to be saved, or I didn't know anything except that the Lord became real at that point. And Jesus, I knew Jesus was real. And so I would be in parties and I'd be at places and, you know, still doing my drugs and everything. And I would talk to people and I would like, Jesus is coming back. And I would say this all the time, Jesus is coming back. And people would laugh at me because I didn't know what I was saying, you know, other than I knew when I read that word, I knew that it was true. There was something that just sparked in me. And I said, this is real. Jesus is real and he's coming back. But I didn't know how to change anything. I didn't know what to do with that. And so I just continued on that path. And it actually, that was really when I began praying, because I would go to bed at night and I would literally just pray, you know, Lord, I don't want to die tonight because I know I'm going to hell and I don't want to go to hell. And so I would pray that all the time. And I remember I would be high on something and I'd just look up at the sky and I'd say, don't come back, Jesus, because I'm not ready yet and I don't want to go to hell. And so the next year, and it was the summer before my senior year of high school, and I was at a party with a lot of people and we had just been up for days doing drugs, and I literally didn't sleep for, oh, I don't know, it was over 24 hours. I hadn't slept, just doing drugs. And we would do just drinking, and we would just do a bunch of different stuff. And I began having chest pains really bad, and I was sweating, and I had to lay down. And I said, take me to the hospital, somebody. Please take me to the hospital. And everybody just laughed at me, and nobody would take me to the hospital. I literally, I couldn't move. My body was going numb, and I laid down on the ground. I'm sorry, just because I'm teared up. And I called out to the Lord again, and I said, Lord, I don't want to die because I don't want to go to hell. And that was when I felt a hand come into, I literally felt a hand come into my heart and start massaging my heart and pumping it. And I fell asleep at that point. And I thought I died when I fell asleep. And I woke up, I don't know how long it was later. I remember looking and thinking, am I alive? Am I dead? And looking around, and I was like, I'm still alive. And that hand was still pumping my heart. I still felt something inside me pumping my heart. And so after that, I had some problems with my circulation, and I had some things going on, and I was like, I'm never doing drugs again. And I didn't go back to the drugs. And I knew that the Lord had saved me, but at that point, I still didn't know what to do, if that makes sense. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to serve God. I didn't know, you know, I was afraid to go to church. And so I cleaned up my life, and I stopped doing drugs. But I still didn't give up the alcohol because I still needed something to fill me. I still needed something. I still really had a feeling of depression and just all these things inside me that needed to be filled. And so I still didn't know what to do. I cleaned up my life and I finished high school, and I was always a really smart kid. I had graduated high school with a 3.98 and went to college and had a 4.0, and I ended up running away with just the first guy that said he loved me. And it was not a good relationship. And he was very emotionally abusive. And at this time, he would take me to a Baptist church because he had a church background, and I didn't understand because I'd look at his life and everything that he did, and he would take me to church occasionally, and his life wasn't lining up with anything, you know? His life wasn't lining up with the Word of God. His life wasn't lining up with anything. So I was really confused by that because I didn't understand, you know, how he could be the way that he was, and he had other women that he wrote to, and he was engaged to another woman in a different country. He was a military guy, and he was engaged to somebody else, and I ended up getting married to him. We got married over the phone because we were in different states, and I look back and don't know how I got myself in that situation, but I do know that I just was looking for someone, and I wanted somebody to love me, and I wanted to feel loved. I wanted to feel safe. I wanted to feel secure. I wanted these things. And interesting enough, he was taking some courses to finish out his degree through the military. And because he was gone so much overseas, he asked me to take his courses for him. And so he was taking courses through Liberty University. And so I began watching these videos for a year long. I was taking these courses through Liberty University and doing the tests for him and watching videos. And there was the life of Christ. There was the Old Testament. There was New Testament. So I was getting all this knowledge. And I remember just sitting there watching these videos and just crying and just crying and just crying and just crying. And I was like, I want this. And I began like, just like, oh, I want you, Lord, and learning all this about the Lord and feeling a presence, you know, in my life and feeling, beginning to understand who the Lord was and begin to understand things. And, you know, the Bible says that Satan comes immediately. And so as soon as I began taking these steps, it literally was I got myself into a position of compromise. And I began working, and I was married. My husband was gone all the time. I was in a bad relationship, and he wasn't nice to me, and he would call me names all the time. And he cocked his arm to hit me one time, and I fell down. And so I knew that if I pushed him, he was going to hit me. And so, you know, I went out, and I got a job, and I began having an affair with someone on the job. And I ran away with this person. It was interesting. I knew it was wrong. I told myself that it wasn't my fault, you know. And that's one thing I share in my book is, like, take responsibility for your own actions. I don't believe that anybody deserves to be treated poorly, but at the same time, I had no right to have an affair. Just because of the way I was treated and the things that somebody did to me, I had no right to do that. And it took me a long time to admit to myself that I had an affair. You know, I wanted to believe that I was right in what I did. I told myself all this sort of stuff, but I was like, you know, if I'm going to be honest before God, I've got to be honest with myself. And so,
Crystal, with that, we're going to break just for a minute. We're going to just take this break.
Scripture Awakening, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. Read B90, study B next, and live beyond. Read B90. Bible in 90 Days provides a panoramic view of the sweeping story of God's Word. Almost 250,000 people worldwide have read through the Bible from cover to cover using Bible in 90 Days. Study B next. Be Next is a natural next step after reading B90. Be Next Bible studies are available in digital and print formats, and now the corresponding Amazing Journey video series. Live Beyond. Beyond Words radio satellite broadcast and podcast feature insightful interviews from a wide range of Christian leaders that will both inform and inspire. Move beyond just talking about your faith to living it.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. It's great to have you with us today. We have with us a guest, Crystal Krachunas, and she has one gut-wrenching testimony. She's right in the heart of it. I want you to hear the rest of it, and it helps you understand then her book, Run Your Race. Crystal, so you were involved in this affair, you were justifying it, and how'd it go from there?
Yeah, so I ended up moving in with this guy, and I ended up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I think that's up by you, right?
Yes. Yeah, we're based in Hendersonville. We're about 3 hours, a three-hour drive.
Okay,
yeah.
So I lived in Charlotte for a year, and as I was there, I was drinking real heavily. My life was in a really bad place. I was depressed all the time. I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of panic attacks. I had a lot of guilt. I had a lot of shame for everything that I had done, everything of my life. And I walked at that time of my life. I was really into fitness. And so I had done some, I was part of the fitness crowd. I had people wanting me to do some modeling. I had people wanting me to be on ESPN for fitness. And so I was kind of running in that crowd. And I walked into a dress shop one time, and this lady asked me if I had done any modeling. And I was like, well, I had in my earlier years. I have done some kind of runway stuff. And I told her, you know, what I'd done. And she asked me if I would model some of her clothing in a show coming up in Atlanta. And I was like, oh, I would love to. I don't have a job right now. I need something to do. And her and I began this relationship. And this woman began asking me to church all the time. And I was like, oh, no, I can't walk into church, because I was so afraid. And I hear this, people say this, I was so afraid to walk into church because the building would fall down on me. You know, I was such a horrible sinner. I had done so much in my life. I wasn't worthy of anything. I didn't deserve anything. And I was really, really afraid to go to church. And this lady kept inviting me. And I finally, I mean, after weeks, every time she saw me, she invited me to church. And after weeks of this, I finally said, okay, you know, I'm going to go. And I didn't tell her that. And what was interesting during this time is that right around this time is when my mom got saved. And a pastor moved in across the street from my mom and my stepdad. And my mom began witnessing to me all the time. And my mom knew our relationship at that time was not good at all. And she knew not to press me, not to say anything. She just began praying for me and was like, Crystal, I'm praying for you. Crystal, I'm praying for you. Like, God is real. I'm praying for you. And so, because I can look back and I can say, man, this was an answer to my mom's prayer, this woman. And she began asking, you know, inviting me to church. And so I finally, after it probably was a month, I don't know how long it went on, I was like, gosh, I got to get this woman off my neck. And so I decided to go to this church. And it was a rather large church. I don't even remember the name of it. It might have been, I want to say it was an Assembly of God church, maybe, in Charlotte. And there was, like I said, there was probably, they had two services, I believe, and there was at least 1,000 people in one service. It was, you know, so it was pretty large, and they had a balcony. And I went to the second service. I didn't see the lady. I didn't tell her I went. And to this day, she has no idea that I went. And I walked up into the balcony and sat in the balcony, and I dragged my boyfriend with me at the time. I said, you need to go to church with me. And he's like, okay, sure. And so I walked up in the balcony because, you know, God can't see you in the balcony.
Right.
You can hide. You can hide in the balcony. And so I sat up there, and this preacher preached my whole life. And I mean, he, and I was looking around, and I was like, how does this man know this? And he, you know, I could swear to you, he was looking right at me, and he was talking to me. And there's no way he could see me. I was in the balcony. I'm in the dark. There's no way he could see me. But he preached my whole life. And he said, and even now, God still wants you. And I just was crying and crying and crying. I remember leaving, and I looked at my boyfriend, and nothing affected him. And I was like, how did that not affect you? And he said, well, it sure hit home, because it was, I mean, he was included in all this. I mean, it was, and the person you with now was not your husband. And I was just like, how does this man know this? How does he know this? How does he know my life? And I went home, and I actually called my mom, and I said, Mom, I don't know what to do. I feel like I need to leave. I feel like that God wants me to go back to Texas. I said, I don't know how I know any of this. I don't know what to do. I said, I just feel like if I don't go now, that it'll all be gone. And my mom said, I'm going to buy you a plane ticket. Come home on Tuesday. And so I packed one suitcase, and I left. I left my car. I left all my furniture. I left my clothes. I left everything I owned, my dishes. And I had stuff from my grandmother, you know, that she had given me as a wedding present. I remember this gold silverware that I just loved so much from my grandmother. And I left everything, and I had one suitcase, and I got on the plane, and I told my boyfriend, I said, I'm sorry. I hurt you. I don't know what to do. I have to go home. And I remember I went back to Texas, and I moved in with my grandmother, and my mom took me to church on a Wednesday night. And I don't remember what I said, because I don't think that I even had a prayer of anything other than I was crying out before the Lord and repenting of my sins and asking the Lord to save me. And then that was a Wednesday night, and on Sunday I got baptized, and I remember I knew that was when literally the Holy Spirit came inside me, because I began to see things differently. And I tell people this all the time. It was like my whole life I had been looking through these, you know, glasses where everything was blurry. And all of a sudden I could see clearly. I could just see clearly.
Yeah.
And the weight of my sin was gone. The weight of my shame was gone. And I was like, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Wow. And then you began running.
I began running.
Yeah. You know, this is so powerful. And you said you've not done interviews like this. So, you know, I love the way this was so, I guess I want to say, real and raw. I mean, of just sharing your heart and even with tears. Thank you for being so open with this, Crystal, because there are no doubt people listening right now who are saying, okay, what's going on here? This woman's not just playing a religious game. Her life was really changed. It sounds like this God was real to her. I wonder if he's really out there. Mm-hmm. What do you say to a person like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's real. He's real, and you know, he's pursuing us. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And he is in the process now of drawing us to him. And he will use whatever person, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever problem, he will use whatever. And I think about that, you know, he used a donkey. So I'm like, well, if he can use a donkey, he can surely use me, you know. He will use anything and everybody to reach us, to get to us, to just cause us to look to him, to turn our face to him. And when we do that, he just completely changes us, and he gives us his beauty for our ashes. And it's real. It's tangible. It is not just a feeling. It's not just this emotional high. His spirit is real. His love is real. And it pursues us, and it chases us down, right? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It pursues us to chase us down, that he longs to show himself strong on our behalf. And, you know, when I look at just the goodness of God, like he saves us, and he saves us not for me, but for him. He saved me for him. He saved me for his purposes, so that my life would attract other people, that I could show other people what God has done in me. And so he will do it for you. He will do that for you. He will change your life. Mm-hmm. He can make you a new creation, you know. And even 23 years now, I don't, and I think about, you know, it's easy. Like I said, I quit doing drugs on my own. And I know that there's programs out there, and you can stop doing drugs on your own. But I truly couldn't get, I can't get rid of the shame. I can't get rid of the guilt. I can't get rid of the unworthiness on my own. I can't. There's no programs that can do that for
That's
me.
Good. Crystals, we have just a minute left. How do people get your book? And if you were to summarize the book in a sentence, what would you say?
You can get it on Amazon. So currently we just got it up on Amazon. My publisher, Connie, Seaward Publishing, she got that done for me. So I'm so grateful to her. Such a blessed friend in my life. In one sentence, it's just about that every one of us have a race to run. And my race isn't your race. My race isn't everybody else's race. God has called me to run a certain race, and I have to run that out to the end of my life. Sometimes I fall and I fail, but I keep running.
Beautiful. And it literally will encourage you to get into the art of running. But the bottom line is, the race is about your life. You knowing what it is to have the peace that passes understanding that Crystal described, the relationship with God, knowing he's setting a pace, he's guiding you on the journey. We call it the human race, but it becomes a wonderful race with God. Thank you so much, Crystal, for being with us, and every blessing to you as you continue running the race.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of scripture awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.